The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody. How are we doing on this Monday, the 30th day of November 2020? Welcome, everybody. I hope everyone's Thanksgiving was great. I know great with an asterisk, but I'll tell you what, as I will begin saying today about Christmas, the reason for the season remains the same. We will still celebrate the birth of Christ. That celebration will not be dimmed by one lumen. Is that the measurement of brightness? I don't even know. But I tell you what I do know. I know I missed you, but not that much. And it was a joy to be away. And I thank you so very, very much. And it's a huge joy to be back. And it's a great, great a pleasure to have people of such substance to fill in. And so for the days that actually were filled with talk shows last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, how do you not love this talented trifecta of Alan West, Paul Gleiser, Scott Braddock? Thank you guys so very, very much. Thanks to Rhonda for everything that she did to keep things going. Shane and I were both gone, so we have no idea what was going on in the building last week. I listened a little. I paid attention to the news a little. But remained blissfully unplugged. And yet, even to be unplugged, to immerse yourself in the holiday frame of mind, to be all Thanksgiving up, is to be smack dab in the middle of a news story. Because how did Thanksgiving work for you? We've got a lot of things to talk about today, a lot of news. We're going to talk about what may lie ahead in the election. I ain't letting go of this until Biden's hand goes on a Bible on January 20th. If that happens, it's like, okay, I guess this is my next 4 years. And at what point will we get Trump 2024? And so I'll get into all of that about what might work, what has no chance of working, et cetera, but I'll tell you what we made work. We made Thanksgiving work, and we're going to make Christmas work. And with the notion of celebrating Christ's birth, and our part of our musical library. I'm not going to go full 100% Christmas music yet. I'll try to wean ourselves into it or get into the entrance ramp. And yes, we will probably do at some point the Boyce Hawkins Fractured Christmas Piano. Why wait for something that great? But with our minds so firmly fixed on the big things, the things that are important, let us begin as we have since March, and I don't envision stopping anytime soon. 866-660-5759. Phone number, you know it. You got stuff to bring us, Thanksgiving wise, election wise, news wise, life wise. Bring it as we turn to God. Lord, we thank you for this blessed nation and your hand in creating it. In times of strife and uncertainty, we turn to you to energize those who seek truth, both here on earth and the ultimate truth of your word from heaven. Fill us with the spirit of this Christmas season, this Advent season. Let us prepare the way of the Lord and your son's birth. We ask for wisdom and goodwill in navigating our differences here on the planet. Fill us with the energy to be smart and safe as we try to reclaim our lives here in an intensifying virus era. We pray for further success for everybody working to help us with a safe vaccine. And let us always lift up those whose lives and livelihoods have been sidelined by shutdowns and restrictions. Let us work together to change the things that should be changed in our country and around the world, but to resist anybody who would opportunistically sweep away vast portions of our history and our culture in the process. Remind us, Almighty God, that in these most challenging of times, you are always here to unite us to follow your guidance, to treat each other as we would like to be treated. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Let us add a prayer of healing for Joe Biden's right foot. You know, it's funny. You ever have something happen to you and you don't know how common it is, but then you all of a sudden you're a lightning rod for everybody else that had it happen to them. You're aware of the orthopedic adventures of our family. Ethan's still on the crutches after the surgery in July that'll carry him into 2021. With his broken hip from a skateboard mishap fully a year ago, and then some follow-up surgery we had to do. So add to that my big dumb self stepping over a gate in our house back at the closing days of September, and I rolled it on a hardwood floor, and I thought it was a sprain, but it hurt a little more than a sprain, and I had indeed broken my foot. And it's the fifth metatarsal, the outside of your foot on my left foot. It even has a name. It's called the Jones fracture. Lucky Dr. Jones, whoever he is. So I'm hoofing around. I'm doing pretty well. I've got a little giddy up in me get along, but I've got my last orthopedist appointment tomorrow. Should be the last, where the X-ray shows that things are good. I've probably got easy 3 more weeks before it feels semi-normal. It feels kind of normal. I'm favoring it a little bit, but I've been off the boot and off the crutches. And then Joe Biden sprains a foot playing with a dog yesterday, and all of a sudden Twitter lights up, as well it should. And then there's my buddy Bud Kennedy at the Star Telegram saying he just broke his foot at his house like days ago. Like, look at this, bringing everybody, foot injuries, bringing America together. So I thought, it said it was a sprain. I said, I hope it's not like my deal where you find out that it actually is broken. And then like clockwork, bup, bup, there it is. Joe Biden's got a broken foot. His is like a middle metatarsal in the middle of his right foot. But if we end up with a Biden inauguration on January 20th, I don't know if he's on a boot or on crutches for that thing, but nonetheless, so prayers for Mr. Biden and in the healing of his foot. He's 78, and you don't, I'm 63 just turned, and you don't heal like you do when you're 30. I guess when you're 78, you might not heal like you do when you're 63, but he seems to be pretty physically healthy, and so healing for the Mr. Biden's right foot. And I guess the message here is dogs are the problem. He's playing with the dog. The stupid gate we've got in our house is at the bottom of the stairs. It's at the bottom of the stairs, and it's designed so the dogs don't go exploring upstairs. So a gate designed to keep the dogs from going upstairs has now proven pretty effective in keeping me from coming downstairs. But I'm fine. I'm good. And so it's been an orthopedic year at our house, and now it is in the news. So let us go to the news and talk a little bit about what's happening. President Trump was on Maria Bartiromo yesterday morning. And where to begin? Since we last spoke a week ago Friday. You remember the shows that we did for, I guess, you know, a couple of weeks following the election? I told you what I was going to do. I told you what I was not going to do. I said what I was going to do is let the game come to me. I'm going to pay attention to what happens, and I'm going to, another great bit of wisdom, and that is to know what you don't know. Know what you don't know. And what I don't know, in fact, let's start with what I do know. I do know this is a tainted election. I do know this election is fraught with fraud, deceit, bad vote counting, treachery, Democrat machine politics, and it is the most tainted election in American history. Now, do I know that there's enough of that, that there was absolutely enough of that to yield a wrong result, an outright wrong result? I have my suspicions, but I don't know that like I know my own name, like I know that 2 + 2 = 4. And for those reasons, that's why I spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks prior to last week away telling you that the courts, that the all these court challenges, all the lawyers, the whole, you know, doomed Sidney Powell thing, God bless her. I love her, respect her. I don't know what happened there, but I kind of knew what was not going to happen there, and that is that some judge was, you know, open up the skies and some ray of sunshine, either because of Rudy or Sidney Powell or Jenna Ellis, good, talented, hardworking people all, I just didn't see that coming because courtroom standards kind of are what they are. And they're kind of unforgiving and they're kind of exacting, which, by the way, they should be. And I didn't know if the suspicions I have, shared by many, apparently about 74 million people, that we kind of got screwed here. I don't know if that rises to a level that a judge somewhere is going, you know, bang a gavel on a bench and go, that is right. You got screwed. All right. I'm flipping the state of fill in the blank. That was never a strong chance. And now that, and I know, oh, Supreme Court. Okay, look, as I've said, in keeping with my strategy of let the game come to me, and what I'm not going to do, I'm not going to tell you what is going to happen. I'm not going to tell you what's not going to happen. I will tell you that the prospect, the likelihood of a judicial rescue strikes me as close to zero. It ain't zero until it's mathematically zero. And I guess that would mean, you know, the Supreme Court saying no. But things can look the way they look, and sometimes they can surprise you. So I remain open to that surprise. I remain open to any possibility. If there's anything that the last few years have trained you for, it should be to expect the unexpected, right? So as I started to weave a story of how this might go, of the only path for success that we have, if we think that the election simply yielded a faulty result, that the solution lay in the electors and the vote of the Electoral College, which at the moment is slated for December 14th. Well, it will be December 14th, yeah, but what happens and who goes? So if a judicial standard is very exacting and you've just totally got to prove something, and I guess it is goes without saying that the Kraken was not released. So what might get released? What in what venue, in what arena might there be a sliver of hope for success? Here's what that looks like. And these are not based on, making your case beyond some level of doubt in a courtroom where a judge acknowledges the case you've made and agrees with you wholeheartedly that the election yielded the wrong result. Oh, no, no. These are the judgment calls of electors and legislators. So if there is sufficient doubt, sufficient taint, sufficient fog surrounding this result, legislatures have a decision to make. Every state legislature, because I assume we do all know how presidential elections work now, right? You know, we have an electoral college. It's not a national popular vote. It was never intended to be, and that's the genius of the founding fathers. The president of the United States is kind of a CEO of the Confederation of States. You got to win Wyoming just as much as you got to win California. Far more electors in California because they got more people, et cetera, et cetera. That's fine, as it should be. But you do indeed have to win those electors, and usually it's by winning the popular vote in that state. And by the way, that's as it should be. We win the popular vote in that state and you get those electors. And so now as all these scolders and haters go, oh, these Republican states, they're trying to flip it so that they're not going with a popular vote. No, we're not. We're asserting that the popular vote is screwed up. We're asserting that the popular vote was arrived at dishonestly. We're asserting that the popular vote may well be stone cold false in some results. Might be. Provably in court, looks like a no. But sufficiently to make electors think, wow, we may not be able to flip a number of states from Biden to Trump. We may not be able to take the electors of Arizona and Georgia and North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, we may not be able to take those and turn them from a Biden slate of electors into a Trump slate of electors. Because if we say that the basis for Biden having won these states is shady, there's even less of a basis to say that Trump actually won them. And it's not binary. You don't have to believe that Biden definitely won or Trump definitely won. Just doubt that the Biden win. Doubt that the Biden win is clean. Doubt that the Biden win is gospel. And a state legislature can do a number of things. So how might this go? legislators decide to choose the electors themselves. Now, in that case, you may have competing slates of electors being sent to cast their votes. And where do those votes go? They go to the Congress for certification tabulation on the 6th of January. But those votes happen on the 14th of December. Listen, our last show of the year is December 18th. And usually I head off into a blissful cold storage, you know, just hang out with the family because not much happens in the last couple of weeks of December. Hey, 2020, have you met me? There could be, and I guess we got a lot of Paul Gleiser, and I don't know how Scott or Alan, I don't know who the lucky souls are filling in for those last couple of weeks of December. But just because I ain't here doesn't mean stuff ain't going to be happening. Because what may in fact be going on is that competing slates of electors are sent to Congress. You have the ones that are reflective of what the tallies say, you know, that Biden won Arizona, that Biden won Pennsylvania, et cetera, that Biden won Michigan. So he'll have his electors. But the Republican legislatures in those states may send their own slate of electors. Because funny thing about Arizona and Pennsylvania and Michigan, they have Republican legislatures. And who sends the electors? The legislatures do. So if you have one slate of electors ready to roll in and go and give the state to Biden, you have another slate of electors, you know, ready to go in there and say, no, we don't think so. And they may or may not be full-on Trump electors, but they may be, interestingly, electors who seek to be empaneled and then not vote at all. The key here is not to get Trump above 270. That cannot happen. What can happen is to keep Biden from getting to 270. And if ain't nobody at 270, any hands up in the back of the civics class, it goes to the Congress. Congress discards the electoral votes of disputed states. Since no one has 270, the U.S. House breaks the deadlock. How does that go? Every state gets one vote. And that vote is determined by your congressional delegation in the House. How many, you know, what's your take a poll of your, for example, Texas, we have 36 members of Congress. Guess how many of them are Republican? 23. Thank you very much. The Texas vote will be Trump. Yeah, but you know what about California and New York and blah, blah, blah? Yeah, those are going to be, indeed, those will be. I mean, California has 53 members of Congress, and vast majority of them are Democrat. California will obviously be a vote for Biden. New York will obviously be a vote for Biden. But I counted these up. There's one state that has exactly as many Republican members of Congress as Democrats, and that's Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has 18 members of Congress, 9-9. So that's a wash, it would seem, unless we get somebody going rogue one way or the other. But it won't matter, because in the remaining 49 states, how many of the states have Republican majorities in their congressional delegations? Answer is 26. 26 versus 23. I mean, including some, Missouri has a majority Republican congressional delegation. Wisconsin has a majority Republican congressional delegation. So there we are. 26-23 would be the likely tally if it went to the House. Now, there's a lot of, I love flowcharts, as I say. That's a lot of steps in the flowchart to get this election to the House of Representatives. But that's the only way it's going to work. It seems, right? I follow my own rule here. I do not see any judicial remedy coming here. I never did, but I remain open. I'm open to anything. But what I've just described, as circuitous as it is the way to have this result change. There you are. So what do you think of that? Let's ask our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher, shall we? All righty, 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 725.
Oh, come all ye faithful joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem.
Louisiana's own Lauren Daigle. And Behold, by the way, is the name of her Christmas album. And it's great. You're going to hear a little bit of it as we work our way through the Christmas season. You're going to hear a whole lot of things that we've given to you over the years. Some brand new stuff I've discovered for this year's Christmas library. Ready to go, ready to roll, and ready to talk for the first time since Thanksgiving with our buddy Mike Gallagher. Let's do that next. Nikki Whaley is in for Gordon in the newsroom.
Outside is frightful.
Oh, yeah.
But the fire is so delightful.
Dino.
And since we've no place.
All together to go, now. Let it snow. On the Christmas library of things that won't be happening at Mike Gallagher's place. We're at 71 degrees this morning. I checked there in the along the Florida beaches,
stormy.
Man.
Stormy. A little storm going on here, rain and a cold front moving through Florida, which takes it down to all like a frigid 59, 60
degrees. Exactly right. I woke up to 35.
But listen,
and I was thinking also about some other things that are different about Florida and Texas, one hopes, versus the rest of the country. Have you seen what the shutdowns that are back in California? In Rhode Island, bars and gyms closed, and so here so we return to a spike. We return to an election that's not totally settled yet. What do you want to do first? And welcome back, by the way. I hope you had a fantastic week.
Welcome back to you. I mean, it's so weird when you take a week off. It feels like a month in the year we've had. And so I am just our boss Phil Boyce always says. I always like it when a host has a show he wants to get off his chest, and boy, do I ever. I cannot wait. I've been absorbing, as much as I could while sort of in shutdown mode myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm struggling with some family stuff. We have a big decision to make. We'd put this ski trip together in December, Christmas
right.
week. And I got, listen, I'm not oblivious to the whole world telling me that's about the stupidest thing you'd possibly do right now.
I thought you had shelved that.
And I had a dream. I'm not kidding you. A week or so ago, and this is going to sound so maudlin and so bizarre, and I probably shouldn't even, but you're like...
Go with it.
You're like my psychiatrist.
You're among friends. Go with it.
Yep. I'm on the couch, and I had my wife tell me, get together with your kids. And it was a weird, I'm sure there was something I thought of my Denise before I went to bed that night. And I don't know, I just thought, let's try to make this happen.
Yeah.
And so the idea is to bring Matt and his wife from New York and Trevor and his daughter from Dallas and Micah from North Carolina and me from Florida. And we go to a ski lodge and we celebrate Christmas. I haven't seen my family in a year. And I got the whole world saying, are you crazy? That's the last thing you should be doing. And my kid's got type 1 diabetes. He's a teacher, and parent of a beautiful little girl.
Yeah.
And if one of them or all of them or if I get it and it goes south, I'm never going to forgive myself. So it's a tough decision. And it's the kind of decision I think a lot of families are making, Mark.
Of course. And so you're telling us at least that it's sort, let's just call it back on the table.
It is. I mean, we did another Zoom call over Thanksgiving with them, and they're so excited. They want to do it.
I know, and
they all have different degrees of... Some of them are sort of, one of them, Matt in New York is like, he's disengaged from the media. He doesn't really follow much of it. He's okay and he's fine. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Trevor, I think, is a little more cautious and he's the one with diabetes.
Right.
And I've got a friend of a friend whose wife is a diabetic and she's in ICU right now. It would just tear me apart if something happened. On the other hand, you get tested before you get on the plane. Maybe we get tested when we get there again. I'm going to send them shields to go over their face mask that they have to wear on the flight. I don't know. I mean, this is 2020,
Thank you for sharing this because this is the battle because we got Thanksgiving done. After a fashion, and now here comes Christmas, and how will that be affected? And I imagine you with one voice in one ear saying, Mike, life is long. You got next year. We're going to get through this. Do this trip when it's safe to. You've got a kid with diabetes who cannot get this. You cannot get this. Don't take the risk. Then in your other ear, there's somebody saying, don't be a wuss. You know, you play the numbers. Your likelihood of getting it is just not that great. Take the precautions. Don't let this virus deny you the joy of your family and the holidays. And you know what? There is a point to be made in both of those voices.
Well, and you know that the latter point you just gave is about two-thirds of our audience. I mean, you know, right now I can envision two-thirds. People driving around on 635. Yeah, maybe 99%.
I don't know.
Screaming at the radio, hey, you big dummy. You don't know what's going to happen, Gallagher. Be with your kids. And which is kind of what that dream told me. It's like, you don't know what's going to happen 3-6 months
from
now.
That's right.
I've lost a year of my life. And I keep thinking about elderly people, you know, people in their 80s who are saying, man, I lost this year.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see. And yet we are confronted. I'm not going to stick my head in the sand over anything. And here's a headline, you know, that we know is real. The U.S., I mean, more people were hospitalized in our nation Saturday than ever before during the entire year. We got over 91,000 people admitted over coronavirus. Now, well, I think what people are saying is the odds are you aren't going to get it. I don't think they're saying that. I think they're saying the odds are if you get it, you're going to be fine.
That's
going to be like
Kurt Schlichter.
You're going to have a head cold.
Exactly right.
Or my ops manager, Eric Hansen, who had a pretty decent cold. I mean, and same with diabetics. Trevor could get it and be sick and be okay. It's the other thing, the other option that scares me, keeps me up at night.
Of course.
So, you know, we're all facing this, and we're all going through this difficult journey. I can't stop thinking that we're just so doggone close. Here's breaking news from moments ago, and you heard it, and I know that you saw the news. Moderna is now asking the feds for emergency use. So now they're the second drug maker to seek the so-called emergency use authorization, the EUA. It's coming. We're going to get a vaccine. Now, incidentally, you and I have another battle, so let me turn it all on you, Mr. Talk Show Host.
Yes.
Mr. Smarty Pants.
All right.
You understand that as well as the audience screaming right now at the radio on the Stemmons Freeway, hey, go do the ski trip with your kids, they're also screaming, I ain't getting no vaccine.
Oh,
you know that, right?
I don't know how many people that is.
I know. Okay.
I just said I don't know how many. I didn't mean I don't
know. I do.
Why?
And that's a mistake, by the way. And by the way, for the record, that's a mistake.
What's driving them? I mean, it's not the usual anti-vaxxer cult. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, or is it just, okay, if I gathered 10 people, are you talking about people who are hesitant about the vaccine, want to let it roll out for a couple of months before they do it, or people who are saying, line in the sand, no way I'm taking it? Are those the folks you're talking about?
I double dog dare you to open up your phone lines.
Very little interest in doing that.
How about a deluge?
You've done it for me. And what would the basis of that argument be?
Don't trust it. They're not sure.
Why?
Well, I think because they, in the back of their head, they also know that most vaccines take years in the making.
But why is that? Overly cautious regulation. Operation Warp Speed. President Donald Trump's Operation Warp Speed has blasted through this and shown us that a lot of those delays have been needless.
Bingo. And see, that's precisely why we need to do what we do. Frankly, these vaccines, this is Trump's legacy. They can never take this from him.
Mm-hmm.
When he said that the other day to Maria Bartiromo and others, he's right. He did this.
Absolutely
he pushed
right.
this. Operation Warp Speed is the Trump is a huge, huge part of the Trump legacy, which makes what's going on with the court challenges and all the suspicions of election fraud such a bitter pill to swallow. Because I've always said this election would hinge on the virus. And, the numbers didn't go in the right direction in terms of hospitalizations and infections in time for the election. And now here we are. Now we've got a legal team that is fighting. And incidentally, I don't know about you, I'm not bailing on the man. I haven't bailed on him in 5 years.
All right, certainly true, but I did a kind of a detailed deep dive. I may need to do several times, and that is that the court system, even the Supreme Court, not going to be the release valve.
Well, that it's we going don't to be, know that. No, we don't know that today.
And exactly right.
You're right.
I'm not saying that like I know that 2 + 2 is 4. I'm saying there's been no reason to think that the judiciary is going to help us out. I don't see how that changes. But
I would acknowledge it's a long shot, but you know what was a long shot? 2016.
Him winning it all. Exactly right. But here's something, here's something that's less of a long shot, because it doesn't require proving anything to a judge. It requires having electors, the people whose votes really matter here on December 14th, to have them harbor sufficient doubt that they just can't give their states to Biden. They say, this is too dirty. It's too weird. I can't do it. And that means that it doesn't mean that Trump gets to 270, but it means that Biden doesn't either. And the whole thing goes to the House. If it goes to the House, Trump wins. Now, that's a
huge one thing I do know that's directly in front of us.
Go ahead.
Here, one target that's directly in front of us is Georgia.
Yep.
And I'm a week from today, I'll be broadcasting from Georgia.
Yes.
Now, I'm driving.
Yeah.
I ain't getting on an airplane yet because I'm not ready to get in the hermetically sealed bodysuit, the hazmat suit, but I can get in my car and drive 6 hours north and
cool.
go to Atlanta
yep.
and broadcast from our studios there at AM 920, The Answer. I'm excited about that. We're going to focus on, because here's the other thing with the disdain we have over, and Trump said it best with this Maria Bartiromo interview. So he goes to bed with people congratulating him. He's winning by a lot,
yeah.
and he wakes up and he loses by a little.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the margin of it, you know what the margin is in Georgia
mm-hmm.
of the millions of votes cast? 13,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure. Isn't that convenient, you know, the way yeah. that, and that's the cynicism. But I pray that Georgia voters don't let that cynicism keep them from the polls.
And I'm hearing this 47 times, that everybody is all, you know, twisted off about Governor Kemp and the Secretary of State and whether Georgia went to Trump, that they are somehow fog-brained now, that they are their passions are somewhat lessened about showing up for David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. I don't believe that
you know what
for a
that
second.
Is?
I don't think that. I think it's wishful thinking from the media.
That's Democrat wishful thinking.
Ooh,
they absolutely are hoping we'll be foggy
yep.
brain. They hope that we're going to say, oh, they see Trump's legal battles and legal challenges over the election as the gift that keeps giving, because they
mm-hmm.
think the Georgia voters are going to be suppressed and they're not going to go to the polls because they're not going to trust the if. Don't you dare, Georgia. We're not going to let you.
Because who's inaugurated January 20th, we better have 52 senators, because Mitt Romney still breathes the air. We better.
We need every one
of those 52.
There's only one thing worse than what we're going through right now
yeah.
on this presidential
mm-hmm.
challenge, and that's losing the Senate.
Correct.
And that would be a nightmare of epic proportion. There'll be no way to spin that. There'll be no way to tap dance our way out of that. It'll be a disaster.
Well, I'm so glad. So a week
nightmare.
From today. So how long will you be in
a whole
Atlanta?
Week? Going to spend the whole week there.
Cool.
We're going to be spending
oh
the
God,
whole week
awesome.
There. We're going to be fighting for these candidates.
There's a
we're
Trump,
be
fighting Trump our rally next weekend, isn't there?
I think there's going to be a Trump rally.
Yeah.
I mean, at this rate, I think he's going to kick off his 2024 campaign on Inauguration Day.
Told you.
He's going to have a Trump rally. Get ready for that. We're also partnering with the Keep America America Action Fund.
Yep.
This is a great pack. They're fighting for these candidates. I want every Mark Davis fan to go to keepamericaamerica.com and listen, you can support this effort in a huge way.
All right.
And incidentally, not for nothing, we're getting huge support for our Angel Tree Christmas campaign.
Excellent.
For all these kids. Do you know we're approaching 5,000 sponsored
so cool.
children? That's really, really cool. And it's just been a great... And our audience is engaged. Your audience is engaged.
Absolutely.
I'm hearing from them. I was hearing from them all through vacation, and I can't wait to get back in the saddle
at
10:05.
We are ready, man. We are ready.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Have
God
a great
you.
Show
right,
today.
Happy Monday,
and
my
we'll
friend.
Talk
right,
24 hours, 23 hours and 30-some minutes from now. Mike Gallagher today at 10, soon as we're done, right here on 660 AM The Answer. Because nothing says Christmas like a little Billy Idol. Little remake of Tommy James and the Shondells' Money Money, which, yes, was written when Tommy James saw the Mutual of New York logo on a Midtown Manhattan building. Little history. So why Billy Idol? Because he's a birthday boy. Billy Idol Remember sitting there watching the video to White Wedding in the early 80s? Billy Idol is 65, kids. All righty, let's let him take us out. And we'll roll into the 8 o'clock hour with your calls, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, Merry Christmas, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.